Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As you'll notice, Pastor Matt isn't here this morning. We have a new addition to the Holly Grove Lutheran Church family, Ms. Hannah Jane Smith, born Tuesday evening. Pastor Matt will be out for the next 4 weeks. The council gave him the parental leave, like we did when Marcus was born. So next Sunday we'll have a hymn sing. June the 3rd, Linda Fulton will be with us. June the 10th, Matt Parsons will be delivering the sermon. So Pastor Matt had lined all this up, moved a week. Pastor Bartholomew was supposed to be here on the 17th, but he was able to move to this week, and so Pastor Matt will be back with us on the 17th. I'd like to welcome Pastor Craig Bartholomew back with us today. He was here just after Easter, so it's not been that long. Glad to have you back, sir. Few announcements need to be made. The Houston trip meeting scheduled today has been rescheduled for a later date. Mother-daughter banquet is tomorrow night. Mother-daughter banquet tomorrow night. June the 3rd is an evening of fun at the ball field for the scholarship fundraiser. This coming Saturday is the motorcycle ride Wendy has set up for the backpack program. And I think that's about all the announcements I have. Does anybody else have anything? Any more announcements? Okay. A way for you to do something to help with the ride this coming Saturday, even if you don't ride a motorcycle, is Wendy needs help about 12:30 setting up the food for when the motorcyclists get back for giving them lunch. So if you can be out here Saturday afternoon, about 12:30, help set up for the food, that'd be great. Happy birthday to Harold Rose, Amy Horn, Megan Everhart, Rusty Blower, Charles Garner, Judy McLean, Taylor Conley, Isabel Heitman, Chris Black, and Randy Rose. Happy anniversary to Mickey and Carol, Denny and Elizabeth, Herbert and Debbie. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them where they stand. Comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Kim has a presentation.
See, we have several prayer shawls. So I'll do the... So this is for Al Constance. This is... Cheryl Walser's dad, and he's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and so he needs our prayers. And this is for Chris Ferguson. It's Andy's brother. He had knee replacement this week, and so he needs prayers for healing. And this is for Gary Hicks. This is friends of James and Marie. He's had cancer and needs prayers for healing as well. So we're going to do the graduates a little different this year. For right now, I'm just going to call your name, tell about, you know, where you graduated from and what your plans are. And these are y'all's prayer shawls, so we will pass them around. But at the end of the service, we ask each graduate and their parents to come up, and we're going to say a prayer. You know, the parents will put their hand on their child and we'll say a prayer for the graduate. So we're going to do a little different this year. So as I call your name, just stand up. So William Curry, son of Scott and Holly Curry, grandson of Bill and Dottie Curry. He's a graduate of Central Davison, and he will be attending Greensboro College, playing soccer, and his major is accounting. Sarah Grace Davis. She's not here. Okay, Sarah Grace is, of course, the daughter of Joe and Jennifer Davis, granddaughter of Gaynell and Marshall. She's a graduate of North Davidson. She will be attending Davidson County Community College. She has her state license as an EMT and wants to pursue a paramedic degree. Chloe Gabriel. Chloe is the daughter of Stacy and Kevin Gabriel, the granddaughter of Max and Libby Carrick. She's a graduate of Central Davidson, and she will be attending East Carolina, majoring in biology. Jay Proctor. Jay is the son of Sherry and Ted Proctor. Oh, I should have been sending these blankets around. Grandson of Aldine Conrad, graduate of Central Davidson. He will be attending UNC in the honors program, and he'll be majoring in biomedical engineering. And last but not least, Aiden Walser, son of Cheryl and Scott Walser. He's a graduate of Central Davidson. He will be attending UNC Charlotte, and his major is pharmacy. So let's give all our graduates a hand right now.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin
and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you, God. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first hymn is number 400. Just an interesting side note before we begin our liturgy. If this hymn sounds familiar, this was a hymn that was sung yesterday at the royal wedding, which I'm sure all of you watched. So if it sounded familiar, that's the reason. I don't know if the words were the same, but the tune was. So it makes us feel good, right, to know that the Anglicans use a good Lutheran hymn too. So at any rate, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Thank you.
pray. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings us truth to the world. Send us this Spirit. Transform us by your truth, and give us the language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we will be dismissing the children directly to their children's church. Just again, another side note, I myself underwent some surgery for prostate and bladder about 3 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago, and I am still experiencing some difficulty getting all the way down and back up again. So that's what Matt and I agreed we would do then. So you're going to be taking them out? Okay.
So the reading for the day of Pentecost is from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 104 and will be read responsively by whole verse. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creep. There go the ships, and the Lithanian that you formed to sprout, to sport in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season.
When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke?
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 8. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, portions of the 15th and 16th chapters. And Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been here with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Happy birthday. Yeah, that's right. Happy birthday. Today, Pentecost, is the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ as we know it today in all of its various forms and denominations. But guess what? It's God who brings the gifts to this party. And yet, you know, for all of that, sometimes I'm not exactly sure how Lutherans feel about Pentecost and the gift of the Spirit. There are times when I get the feeling that receiving the gift of the Spirit, you know, is kind of like receiving a gift that we're not really sure what to do with, but feel that, well, you know, we have to be polite about it so as not to offend the giver. And then there are other times when it seems that Lutherans are just downright embarrassed about the Spirit, especially when it's held up to us by some of the more charismatic churches, that you don't really have the Spirit in your heart unless you can talk in tongues or give personal testimony or handle poisonous snakes. Yeah, I'm told that they still do that in some of the backwoods churches in Kentucky and Tennessee. And yes, there are also times, believe it or not, when Lutherans do seem to be as genuinely moved, cajoled, and even inspired by the Spirit as anybody else, and are honestly thankful because of it. Before moving to North Carolina, believe it or not, 20 years ago, I had the great privilege of serving a congregation located within the shadow of the state capitol in Albany, New York, for 27 and a half years. A congregation that went through not one, not two, but three physical mergers after 80 years of going their separate ways. 80 years of stubbornly sticking to their own traditions. 80 years of contending for the same neighborhood turf. And what is the name of that consolidated congregation today? I still believe that it was no mere coincidence or accidental happenstance that it ultimately adopted the name Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Only the Holy Spirit could have pulled off that amazing feat of bringing four congregations back together under one roof, albeit a different roof, all talking the same language, and all working together for the same purpose, and all striving to fulfill the same mission. Well, most of the time. After all, it took a lot longer than 80 years for the people of God and Holy Scripture to move from the confusion and the isolation surrounding the Tower of Babel way back in Genesis to the understanding and unity in common language brought about by the experience of Pentecost. So what do we do today then with this Pentecostal experience of the Spirit? For it's the Spirit of God which continues to nurture and sustain our faith regardless of where we first encountered Jesus in our life, whether it was this congregation or someplace else. It was the Spirit of God which ultimately led us to the truth, no matter how and where we first learned to distinguish between good and evil. It was the Spirit of God which gives us the power and the courage to give of ourselves, even when there is no immediate reward in sight. But I would dare say that some of our reluctance to follow the Spirit without hesitation has to do with this sobering problem that is still a very real one today. How do we know? How do we know that it's the Spirit of God working through us? How do we know that it's the Spirit of God working within us and not some other demonic influence or temptation? Just in our own lifetimes, we have witnessed mass shootings on college and high school campuses, and as they've been saying, yes, another one this past week in Texas. We have witnessed acts of domestic violence at home and in the workplace. We have witnessed cult suicides following mindless brainwashing. We have witnessed tragic acts of terrorism, weaponizing vehicles and just about anything else that can be used to kill. The scary part is that so many of these acts of violence have been undertaken by presumably religious people claiming to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, you know, way back in Jerusalem, on that very first Pentecost, the people of God also had difficulty in answering that same question. How do we know? How can we know that it's really the Spirit of God? I mean, some thought the disciples had simply gone off on a drunken binge until good old sober Peter reminded them, hey, come on, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Which proves one of two things, I guess. Either those early Christians didn't know when to stop drinking, or there was indeed a divine power from God at work that could not be seen or felt by those who were lacking in faith. What kind of power? A power that builds up and does not destroy. A power that brings people together and does not alienate. A power that bears the good fruit of love, peace, and mercy, rather than the bad fruit of hatred, war, and revenge. Isn't that still the ultimate test of what comes from the Spirit of God and what does not? It is by their fruits that we will know. It's often said that the great ship of Christ's church draws its ultimate power from the majestic wind of God, blowing as it will. But, like the great sailing ships of old, we too have to learn how to tack into the wind. Now, I'm not a sailor, but I'm told that there's a way to do this if you're going to be a good sailor. And if you look at some of the old oceanic maps, you will see large areas just north of the equator where the air is typically very humid and very still. Those areas between the prevailing trade winds are known by sailors as the doldrums. And so we still talk today about those days when we feel like we're in the doldrums. A good sea captain learned very quickly to avoid the doldrums, lest he find himself dead in the water. The Spirit of God will indeed blow when and where it will. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to put ourselves in a position to catch the wind of God at our backs. And this means, according to the prophet Joel, who Luke quoted in the story of Pentecost, which we heard read, we need to wait patiently for the Spirit. We need to allow ourselves to dream dreams and to have visions. We need to expect that we will be able to do great things that you might otherwise think are impossible. And of course, we need not forget that the Holy Spirit is constantly working through a very less than perfect instrument in people like you and me. Which kind of reminds me of the story of the pastor's little daughter watching her father painstakingly writing out next Sunday's sermon. "Daddy," she asked, "does God tell you what to say?" "Yes, of course he does," he replied. "Well then," replied the little girl, "how come you cross so much of it out?" Yeah, sometimes we do fall short of God's expectations. Sometimes we will fail altogether. But we will not move God's church forward at all unless we are willing to make mistakes, unless we are willing to take risks, unless we are willing to learn from the times that we got off the right track. But then on the other side of the coin, there's also the story of the pastor who stood before his congregation one Sunday morning and confessed, "You know, I must tell you first that I didn't really have enough time this week to prepare today's message. It's been a very busy week, what with meetings and funerals and babies being born and all that. So I guess I'll just have to depend on the Holy Spirit today. But don't worry, next week I hope to do better." Yeah, even I lose sight of the fact that the best sermon may well be when God speaks through me, and I am just a free-flowing channel for the Spirit of God to move and work as He will. In the same way, you too must depend upon the Spirit of God when you listen to the message of the gospel, to open your ears, to hear that still, small voice speaking to you from within, even when the preacher may falter and stumble. And who knows? We might even discover that Pentecost really does mean something to us after all. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our next hymn, number 401.
Creed, found on page 104 and on the screen. We believe in one God, the Father,
filled with the Holy Spirit, we now join with the church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Lord of life, you baptize your people with the fire of the Spirit. Grace your church everywhere with your visions and your dreams, so that as we testify, all will hear the gospel and call upon your saving name. Hear us, O God. Your creating spirit renews the face of the earth. Bring to birth new life in the earth's landforms and waters. Awaken us from the slumber of neglect to show tender care for our home. Hear us, O God. Your spirit swept over the waters and you created the human family. Now, we are divided, scattered like dry bones. Connect the nations once again with the strength of the Holy Spirit so that all will live in hope. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit sighs with every need. Guide us in honoring the dignity of everyone and opening our lives to others. Pour your healing mercies into the lives of all who need your care. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Jeanette, Barbara, Elizabeth, Pastor Matt, and Carrie. And we also pray and lift up to you our friends and family who may be suffering in any way. And especially we lift up the families and the young people who once again have been victimized by a dangerous person who acts mindlessly and tragically. Be with them and bring them in this Pentecost season renewed hope, renewed faith, and renewed courage. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit has called and gathered this congregation into life in Christ. Help us in our weakness. Teach us to pray. Search our hearts and intercede for us, your beloved saints, according to your will. Hear us, O God. And by your Holy Spirit, you have called and gathered people from every nation under heaven. Gather us with all the saints at the heavenly banquet that has no end. Hear us, O God. By the sure guidance of your Spirit, O God, we lift up all our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the peace of the Lord be with you always.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Indeed, holy, almighty and merciful God, you are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. And in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus also took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you, drink of it. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. And do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen." Let us now pray as our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, come now before the banquet of our Lord to celebrate the Spirit. Thank you. Let's rise. And now may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve each one of you with his grace unto life abundant and life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You're going to do the thing with the graduates now, okay?
So, at this time, we would like for the graduates to come forward with their parents. And so if the congregation will raise a hand as that you're touching the graduates and the parents, if you'll put a shoulder or a hand on your graduate's shoulder. Go out into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold to what is good. Turn no evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve our God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his countenance, and may he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would also like to invite everyone to the Senior Central Davidson Band. Last performance is Thursday night. It's at the Civic Center. It starts at 7. So anyone that can come, the Senior Band, the Central Band has had a lot of awards this year. So go in peace. Serve the Lord.